All right, I want you to find your place in the book of Galatians chapter 2, please. The book of Galatians chapter number 2. It's been good to be in God's house today. We need to keep our eyes on the prize. One day we're going to see the lovely Lord Jesus for the first time. Exciting to think about it, isn't it? I mean, getting to heaven and seeing the Lord for the first time. Be with Him for all eternity. And I know we'll be glad when we see Him that we were faithful to His house. Faithful in giving the gospel, doing all we can to get other people saved for the glory of God. I'd like all the teenagers who went to the mission trip, if you wouldn't mind to stand, please. All the teenagers who went, there were 6 of them. There were 11 who were eligible to go, but only 6 went. But I want to tell you something. These kids did an outstanding job. Absolutely amazing. We saw some folks saved. Amen. We saw the church strengthened, the pastor encouraged. And I want to say thank you, young people, for working hard. And all of you young people who worked hard, some eligible to go, some not. We appreciate your hard work and appreciate what you did. Don't let it burn out. Bring it back to Buffalo Ridge and may it catch fire in the youth group, in the youth department. Because the whole church needs a little bit more fire. Amen. Every one of us does. And that's what we want. God bless you. You may be seated. Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20. One of the most familiar verses in all of Scripture. The Apostle Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. If you're in a habit of marking your Bible, I want you to mark the 3 words in verse 20, the 3 words crucified with Christ. Crucified with Christ. I want to preach to you on that subject this evening. Our Father, we love you tonight, and we thank you for what our hearts have already felt. We thank you that this is real tonight. We thank you that you are alive and doing well. And we thank you that one day we're going to see you face to face. I pray, Lord God, that you bless Brother Gary and his dear wife and Hannah and the family. Lord, I pray, God, that you bless them on this special day as we've set it aside to celebrate their 25th anniversary here. Bless them today. Thank you for their faithfulness to you. Thank you for their faithfulness to each other. Thank you, Lord, for their faithfulness to this church. Bless them in the days to come. Bless our preacher and his dear wife. Lord, as they're preparing for this big day and, Lord, for what it means to them. I ask that you encourage them and strengthen them and bless them. And bless me in this hour. Help me to preach and do what I cannot do, that is speak to the hearts of people. Save souls and change lives in Jesus' name. And God, forgive my sins. Help me to be a clean vessel. In Jesus' name, amen. In Matthew 27:35, the Bible says, and they crucified him. In Mark 15:24, and when they had crucified him. In Mark 15:25, and it was the 3rd hour, and they crucified him. Luke 23:33, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors. In Luke 24:20, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. You know, many years ago, the lovely Lord Jesus stepped out of the portals of glory, was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, and was falsely accused and sentenced to die the death of crucifixion. They took him to the place called Golgotha and drove nails into his hands and nails into his feet. It was here where the Lord Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, bowed his head and died for the sins of the world. And may I say, praise his holy name for his sinless and selfless sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. As we think and meditate on the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, somebody ought to say amen for what he's done for us. And as we think about his crucifixion, Paul, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, makes a statement that only God can help us understand. Because he made a statement in Galatians 2:20, he said, I am crucified with Christ. Now I want to take that simple statement and I want to take this whole verse, I'm going to preach on the whole verse and take a phrase and put an outline on it and take another phrase and put an outline on it And by the time we get through this message, you're going to have a pretty good idea of what Galatians 2:20 means. And the first thing I want you to notice with me as we consider crucifying with Christ, I want you to notice Paul's meaning. In other words, folks, what does it mean where he says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live? Let me tell you something. The word crucified here is in the perfect tense. And it means a once for all time action never to be repeated. Now, what does that mean? The obvious question here is, what does Paul mean when he says, I am crucified with Christ? Because Paul, under the inspiration of Scripture, is speaking this right here. He's not dead. He's not literally crucified. What's he mean? Now, I'm going to show you, and I'm going to tell you right here what he means, and I'm going to prove it. We see that what Paul is saying is that when Christ died for sin, he died to sin. Stay with me. He died to self and he died to the world. In other words, even as Christ became insensible to the world when he died, because a dead man feels nothing. Let me tell you something. In the same way, Paul said, we are to be the same, insensible to the world around us. There are so many people who are living and letting the world affect them. And folks, I'm telling you, a dead person feels nothing. Now stay with me here. There was an intimate union between Christ and his people, so that what affected him affected them. See, the death of the Redeemer on the cross involved as a consequence the death of his people to the world. Here's what I mean. The Bible calls the Lord Jesus Christ the vine in John chapter 15. And may I tell you that if this plant here, if we could just illustrate this as being the vine, there is a root down there, and the Bible says that God's children are the branches. But listen, in order to understand what he's saying is this. He's saying when the root was affected, so was I. Let me say this to you. If the root is damaged, it will damage every leaf on that tree. And when God Almighty's Son was crucified, Paul said what happened to him, the same thing happened to me. Stay with me. I'm trying to illustrate something. The Bible also says that Jesus Christ is the head of the church, which is his body. And let me say this to you. When your head is injured, it affects every single member of your body. And when Jesus Christ, the head, was put to death, it affected the rest of his body. And what Paul is saying here, listen to me, please. He's saying this, when Christ died, I died. Galatians 5:24 says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Galatians 6:14, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. The Bible says over in the book of Romans, don't turn to it, but Romans chapter 6, verse number 6, it says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. See, we see here that we who are saved, in other words, what Paul is saying is this, I have no more rights of my own. When Jesus Christ died for me and he died for my sin, I died to sin. I am no longer my own to make my decisions. Let me tell you something. We need that in our churches. We need it in our homes. We need it in our marriages. We need people to say, wait a minute, Jesus Christ died for me. And when he died for me, I died to the world and I'm living unto him. I'm not going to make my own decisions anymore. Somebody said too many Christians are trying to face in two directions. And let me tell you something, a crucified man cannot look in two directions. He can't look in front and behind. A crucified man can only look ahead. But there are so many Christians today who are looking this way and then taking a look back. They're looking this way and taking, that person's not crucified. They're like Lot's wife. While they're running away from danger, they're looking back to see what they're leaving behind. And may I tell you something, that a crucified man only looks in one direction. A crucified man's not coming back. Folks, when they were crucified, they were going to be put to death. There were no more future plans. They didn't have any more plans after crucifixion. And may I tell you that when you are truly crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't make any more future plans. You leave your life into the hands of Almighty God. And the bottom line is what Paul meant right here, is when Christ died in the flesh, he died to the flesh. Christ died to give us life. Therefore, we should give our life to him to live. That's what Paul's saying. He's saying, my life is not mine anymore. My life is God's. Jesus Christ died for me. He was crucified for me. And since he's done so much for me, I'm crucified with him. I make not my own decisions. I'm not going to live my own way. I'm going to do whatever he tells me to do, because without him, I'm nothing. That's what he means. He's saying, I'm done. I'm through. I'm no longer going to look both directions. I'm no longer going to make my decisions. I'm through. My flesh is completely his. It's his. My life is his. Whatever he wants me to do, where he tells me, what he wants me to give, everything, I want him to take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. My life is your life, Jesus. I'm crucified with Christ. You know what we have? We have too many Christians who are living. They're alive in the flesh. And let me tell you something. Jesus Christ died to save what our flesh is guilty of. Sin, lust, wickedness. And what a stench in Almighty God's nostrils that he sends his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sin in the flesh. And yet so many of God's children say, oh, save my soul. And thank God when you call to him in humble dependence, he saves you. Amen. But what a stench in his nostrils it must be when we get off the cross and say, no, I'll do my own thing. You want me to read the Bible? No. You want me to give the gospel out? No. You say, I've never told God no in my life. If you haven't told him yes, you're telling him no. And all I'm saying to you, the first thing we're looking at it, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. What's he mean by that? He's saying, I know I'm alive, but I'm dead. I'm not making my decisions. Somebody else is carrying me around. Hey, you see a dead person? They're not up around walking around. If their body goes anywhere because somebody else took them there, and Paul is saying, I am living as a dead man. There's his meaning. Second thing I want you to notice is Paul's motto. Not only Paul's meaning, but secondly his motto. We see this in the next phrase. The first phrase is, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. There's the meaning. Here it is. Here's his motto. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. It's interesting that Paul wanted everybody to know that his motto for life was not I, but Christ. Not I, but Christ. You know, what a great way to live life. I'm talking about living life with God's will being primary instead of yours. You know the decision we have to make every day of our life? My will or his will? My will or his will? You know what Paul's motto was? Not I, but Christ. It's time with listen, young people. It's time with your music. You have the motto, not I, but Christ. And your dress standards, not I, but Christ. In everything in life, Paul's motto was this, it's not for me. It's all for him. And all I'm saying to you here, Paul is telling us something. He's saying, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. What's he talking about? Jesus Christ died in humility, according to Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. But he rose again in great power and glory. And Romans chapter 1, verse 4 says, and declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. And everyone who accepts him as their Lord and Savior is changed forever. Because at that time, Christ moves into the heart of every born-again child of God in the person of the Holy Spirit. We see this, don't turn to it, but back in the book of John chapter 14, The Bible says in verse number 16, Jesus speaking, "And I will pray the Father that he shall give you another comforter, and he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Aren't you thankful for the Holy Spirit of God tonight? I'm talking about, listen, it's not God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. No, no, no. It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Co-equal, coexistent, three yet one, one yet three. Don't try to figure it out. Just believe it by faith, because that's what the Bible teaches. And what Paul was trying to say here is, as we yield our lives to him, he produces more of himself through us. Paul is saying, where I go is not because it's my will, it's because it's his will. My life is his life. It's not I, but Christ living in me. We're to realize that without Christ, we would be on our way to a devil's hell. I want you to let that sink in just a moment. Without the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for us, we would be on our way to a devil's hell. But he showed us mercy and grace when he saved us and came to live in our hearts. Now our motto in this life should no longer be me, myself, and I. It should rather be not I, but Christ. In other words, life is no longer about us. Have you come to that point in your life where it's no longer about you? I want to ask you a question. We've got several preachers here tonight. If I were to ask Brother Fox, and I'm not going to ask him this, but I'm sure if I ask him, is a majority of your people come to the point in this life where it's not I but Christ? I already know your answer. A majority of them. Maybe some of them, but a majority. When you come to this church, now please don't misunderstand. By the way, if you get mad at this, you're the one I'm speaking about. Amen. If you get upset with what I'm getting ready to say, it's because you're guilty. I guarantee you, in a church this size, is there a majority who's living the life with the motto, not I, but Christ? Let's apply it right here just a moment. I hope when you think about me, I hope you think about soul winning. That's my heartbeat. So let me just pick that one area just a moment. Let's take soul winning. Is it about you or is it about him? Before you answer that, how many doors did you knock on last week? How many gospel tracts did you give out last week? You're stepping on my toes. Remember what John Bishop told you this morning, okay? All I'm saying to you folks, listen, it's good for our toes to be stepped on every now and then. Because this life is not about me. It's about him. Our motto should not be, what will this do for me? I can't do that. I don't know if I can make that. I'm not sure I can do that. I just don't know. Wait a minute. Not I, but Christ. That's Paul's motto. Is it yours? If you're crucified, it is. Because you realize life's not about you, it's about him. By the way, there'd be no life without Christ. Right? He is life. And without him, we're burning in hell. But yet he died so you can live. Now it's our decision to die so he can live through us. That's what Paul's saying. His motto. Number three is message. Now I'm going fast tonight. I'm going to slow down just a moment, but I'm going fast. His meaning, his motto, his message. We go to the next phrase. He said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Now notice, here's his message. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. He's giving his message here. Paul wanted to make it clear that the life he was living now as a crucified man was in strong contrast to his former life. Because if you remember, he was living by his flesh in his former life. But now he's making it real that it's not his flesh he's living in now or living by. He's now living by the faith of the Son of God. In other words, faith, not flesh,
was what was driving him. He was not making his decision based upon how it felt to him. Does this feel good? Is this something I want to do? Yeah, I mean, that's flesh. He said, no, no, no. I'm not living my flesh anymore. It's crucified. It's dead. It's gone. I don't want it anymore. I'm making no decisions. I'm not living in flesh by flesh. I'm being governed by the faith of the Son of God when he gave it to me, when I accepted him as my Lord and Savior. Let me ask you a question tonight. Are you living by faith or are you living by flesh? It's one of the two. He's going through life being confident in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's looking to him for strength and trusting his promises and grace. He was not living the way he did for himself. He was not going through life being driven by his flesh, but being driven by the faith of the Son of God. God, give us church members, and I know we have many of them, and bless you for it. God, give us church members who say, it's not my flesh anymore. It's the faith that's been given to me. 2 Corinthians 5:15, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Don't turn to it, but in 1 Peter chapter number 4, verses 1 and 2, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. What a powerful verse. He's saying when you're crucified, he's saying now because of what Christ hath done for you, because of this, you should not any longer, I'm talking about the time that you have. And the Bible says the rest of his time. And by the way, you don't know how much rest of time you have. You might have a day, you might have 10 years, but the Bible says for the rest of his time, from the time that he accepted Christ and the rest of his time, he said, don't live to fulfill the lust of man, but live so the will of God is done. You know, the Bible's powerful. Mr. Kaiser used to teach us. He's in heaven. He preached my ordination. He used to teach us. He'd say, boys, he said, let me tell you something. He said, just open the Bible and let the Bible speak. And when you open the Bible and let the Bible speak, it pierces. Folks, it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about the Lord. We see his meaning. We see his motto. We see his message. It was the faith given to Paul by the Lord Jesus that made his life possible. By the way, do you realize even faith is a gift of God? Ephesians 2:8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. May I make a statement to you? None of us could have gotten saved unless the Lord Jesus Christ gave us the faith to believe it. None of us. It's a gift. Now, some people refuse that faith. Refuse it. People are hung up a lot today on Calvinism. I'm studying that right now, and I'm going to blow it out of the water in just a few weeks probably. It is eating our churches alive. And I'm not even halfway through my study. And listen. Are you listening to me just a moment? Do you realize? I'll just give you this one nut here, okay? I've got a whole buffet to come later. Let me just give you this one nut. If God Almighty has forced people to reject him, I'm talking about hyper-Calvinism. I'm talking about those people who say there's only an elect. It's a limited atonement. In other words, God's already made up his mind. This person will get saved. This person will not get saved. I'm not going to let it. Yet God commands man everywhere to repent. He's commanded everybody to repent. And if he's commanded everybody to repent, but he has forced this person to say no, he's forcing somebody to disobey him. That's sin. Did you get what I just said to you? If he tells every one of you all, you are to repent, you're to be saved, but yet he's come to here to Nathan and said, you can't be saved, then God has forced you to say no to a command he's given you. That makes him the author of wickedness. And he is altogether perfect. He's not going to sin. And what Paul is saying here, he's saying the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. This faith came from the Lord. Hope you're getting the message. I hope you're getting it. That's his message. His meaning, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. He's saying, oh, I know I'm alive, but in my flesh, I'm crucified. I'm not making any more decisions. My life is God's life. My motto is no longer me, myself, and I. My motto is not I, but Christ liveth in me. My message is, oh, by the way, the life he's living through me by the faith that only comes from him anyway. It takes faith to live the Christian life. It takes faith to go out and knock on doors. It takes faith to read the Bible. It takes faith to come to church. It takes faith to be the Christian God wants you to be. But that faith can only come from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's his message. And the fourth thing I see, which in my personal opinion is the strongest thing in this verse. Now, all of it's strong, you understand. But number four, and I realize you preachers have probably already figured it out. Got it, Brother Gary. We see Paul's motive. We see his meaning, his motto, his message, and his motive. Look at it, last part. Let me just read the whole thing. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Here it is, who loved me and gave himself for me. In those two phrases, who loved me and gave himself for me, Paul said, this is the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing. It's my motive. Why is it that Paul was no longer interested in living for himself? Why was it that rather he was allowing the Lord to live in him and through him? Why is it that Paul said, listen, I've crucified my hands. They're no longer mine, they're his. I've crucified my feet. They're no longer mine. They're his. I've crucified my eyes. They're no longer mine. They're his. My ears, no longer mine, but his. My heart, my mind, I'm crucified. This is completely against what the devil will tell you to live. Completely. This is totally against what the humanist philosophy will tell you about yourself. Believe in yourself. You can do anything you want to do. Just put your mind to it and you can do it. You know what I say to that? Hogwash is what I say to that. But why is it that we should say, you know, I've got a strong urge to do that, but I'm crucified, I can't. I'm dead. Why is it that you should live your life and saying, you know, I'm going to take my orders from headquarters. I'm done. I'm tired of making my own decisions. Why is it that you should let God govern your TV remote? Amen. Why is it you should let God govern what you watch and what you listen to and where you go and what you wear? Why is it that you should say, no longer I, but Christ? Why? What's the motive? The motive is, he loved you. And he gave himself for us. There's no way I can give this justice. The love and sacrifice of Christ. If that's not a strong enough motive, there's nothing in the world it's going to be. He felt under the highest obligation to the Lord from the fact that he had been loved by the Lord. God loved me. Amen. Did he prove it? He sent his only begotten Son. Think about it. Think about it. You know what I'm glad of? I'm glad it's real tonight. I'm glad this is not something I've given my life to
and one day I'm going to die and there's nothing. Thank God there's something beyond the grave. Why is it that we should go through? Hey, you've only got one shot.
Hey, young people. The devil whisper to you and say, don't let that short preacher up there with those hairy fingers and all those kind of things, don't let that short preacher up there tell you what to do. Listen, you live your life the way you want to live it. You listen to what you want to listen to. You go where you want to go. You be what you want to be. Don't you listen. You don't listen to your mom. You don't listen to your dad. You don't listen to your pastor. You don't listen to anybody. You make your own decision. You know what he's trying to do? He's trying to devour you, the Bible says. Jesus Christ died for you. He loves you tonight. He gave himself.
And Paul said, that is my motive. I'm crucified. I will not live my life for myself. I will not make my own decisions because he has been too good to me. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans, don't turn to it, please. The Bible says in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 35, the Bible says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ. From the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The Bible says in Ephesians 5, 2, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Galatians 1, 4, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. 2 Corinthians 5, 14, for the love of Christ constraineth us. Guess who wrote that verse? The Apostle Paul. The love of Christ constraineth us. There is no greater motivation than the love of Christ towards his children. That's it. Let me tell you why you ought to go soul winning, because God commanded it. Yes, I know that he commanded it, but let me tell you another reason. Because he loved you and gave himself for you. Why should you read your Bible? Why should you try to live a life that's pleasing to God? Why should you say, okay, I'm through, I'm done, I'm tired of this. It's no longer about me. It's all about Jesus Christ. Why should you do that? Because he loved you. He gave himself for you. He gave himself to me. I want you to flip to one passage of Scripture. Flip back to the book of Exodus chapter 21. You say, what in the world are we going to look at in Exodus? I'm going to show it to you in Exodus chapter 21, verse 1. I'm about through here, folks. Stay with me. Exodus 21, verse 1. The Bible says, now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. Exodus chapter 21, verse 2. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve. In the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her masters, and he shall go out by himself. Now notice closely verse 5. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, my children, I will not go out free. And his master shall bring him unto the judges, he shall also bring him to the door, or under the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. Now you know where I'm going with this, don't you? The Bible says, if you have a servant, he shall work for you for 6 years. On the seventh year, he's free to go out and do anything he wants. But if he looks at you as the master and says, I love my master, I will not go out free. He said, if he tells you that, take him to a door and drive an awl in his ear and mark him. I want to ask you a question. Do you have a mark in your ear tonight? See, the beautiful thing about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ is that he buys us off of the slave block of sin. We're sold under sin, the Bible says. And when he redeemed us, he bought us to himself. And then he says, you're free. But you know what he's looking for?
He's looking for a boy or a girl or a teenager boy, a teenager girl, or a man or a woman or a grandma or a granddad or a mom and dad to say, I know I'm free. I love my master. I will not go out free. I'll not go out free. I'm staying right here. And the Bible says he shall serve him all his days. In her book, a lady told of four outstanding servants of God who died to self. You know who they are? First one's George Mueller. When questioned about his spiritual power, here's what he said. He said, one day, George Mueller died. That's what he said. Another one was D.L. Moody when he was visiting New York City, when he consciously died to his own ambitions. A pastor, Charles Finney, slipped away to a secluded spot in the forest to die to self. Evangelist Christmas Evans, putting down on paper his surrender to Christ, began it by writing, I give my soul and my body to Jesus. You know, there's a great difference between realizing that on that cross he was crucified for me, and on that same cross I'm crucified with him. The one aspect brings us deliverance from sin's condemnation. That's his crucifixion. The other one, us being crucified with him, brings us from sin's power. It's still powerful, don't misunderstand me, but it doesn't have to have dominion over you. Recognizing that we've been crucified with Christ, we're dead to sin. Somebody made this statement, I give it to you. Victorious Christians are those who have died to live. Victorious Christians are those who have died to live. I wonder tonight, are you crucified with Christ? Are you living for Him instead of yourself? Philippians 3:10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Let me remind you, before we close, you cannot crucify yourself. You can't crucify yourself. It's impossible. You understand what I'm saying? You might can get your feet and get one hand, but who's going to do the other hand? You can't do it to yourself. Somebody else must crucify you. And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet when they crucified him, it was pain and suffering and death. But when he crucifies us, it's life and liberty and freedom. Because he's alive in you. And now he's walking and talking and listening and doing and going through you. Are you truly crucified with Christ? I want you to bow your head, please, and close your eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Our Father, help me now as I give this invitation. May it be used in a mighty way. Bless it, I pray. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I never want to overlook the first major thing, and that is this. The reason the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified some 2,000 years ago is because He loves you and He loves me. And He says if you will recognize that you're a sinner and that Jesus died for you, and if you'll by faith receive Him into your heart and life, He'll save you. The devil's out to destroy you. The Lord is out to save you. Which one will you let have His way? Is there one here tonight, you say, Jody? If I died right now, I do not have assurance in my heart that I would go to heaven. Now, please understand, if you respond to this, I will not come to your seat. I will not call you out. You have my word on that. I just need to know if we have somebody like that so I know how to proceed with the invitation. You have my word. I will not embarrass you. Please don't be ashamed to respond. Is there somebody, say, Jody, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure there's been a time in my life when I've asked Jesus to come into my heart
and forgive me and be my Lord and Savior. You say, Jody, would you pray for me? Would you pray for me? Is there anybody like that at all? If that's you, would you quickly, quietly, would you raise your hand in the air, put it right back down? Anybody at all like that? I'm looking. Anybody at all? You say, Jody, I'm not sure. I just don't know that I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. If you'd raise your hand, put it right back down. Anybody at all? Then let me ask you this. You say, Jody, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. But if I'd be honest with God, according to what you've preached tonight, I don't believe I'm crucified. It's a simple statement, a simple question. What I'm asking is, are you looking in one direction? Have you made a conscious decision that you have no further plans of your own? Are you living for God? Is it God instead of self? What is it for you? Have you said, Jody, this message is for me. I just don't think I'm living a crucified life. And I believe God is speaking to me. If that's you, would you be an honest person? Would you raise your hand? Yes, thank you. Somebody else. Yes, I just don't think I'm living a crucified life. Yes, thank you. Yes, thank you. Somebody else. You say, if we take this verse and try to put it into practice, I am not living the way Paul was living his life. Let me ask it this way. How many of you say, Jody, with God looking at me, I believe I can say the same thing as Galatians 2:20. I believe with God looking at me, I can say I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I believe I can say the same thing as Paul said and God included in his scripture. Yes, I believe as God looks at me, I believe I can honestly say that. Now, you're not being proud. If you believe that you can say that with God watching you, I want you to raise your hand in the air. Would you do that? You believe that you can say that. Great. Make sure the next time somebody asks that, you can still raise it. Now, there's many hands who could not be raised. If you be honest and you say, Jody, I could not raise my hand to that. I couldn't do it. Would you be an honest person? Would you raise your hand now? Be an honest person, folks. Be honest. Be honest. It's either one or the other. You understand? Yes. Now, I'm talking to you who've raised your hand. In just a moment, we're going to stand and sing. Why don't you come tell God what you just told him by lifting your hand? You say, Jody, are you trying to get me forward? Yes, I'm trying to get you forward. Because that's where business is done. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take it, use it, break it in a mighty way. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary singing. If God is speaking to you, would you leave your place now, please, as he sings.
Take my life and let it.
Why don't you leave your place and come now?
Consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love, at the impulse of thy love.
They're playing through in just a moment. Brother Gary's going to sing that second verse. Well, let me just make one more plea. If there's somebody here tonight that does not know the Lord, if you do not come forward, then at the end of the service, we'll be in the back. Why don't you come to us and say, you know, I'd like to know that I'm going to heaven. And it'll be a privilege of ours to take a Bible and share with you how you can know. And let me say this to you. Every one of us were in that same boat one time in our life. And we're so thankful that we said yes to Jesus Christ. Why don't you do the same? There's still time for you as Brother Gary sings that second verse. Why don't you come now, please?
Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Always only for my King.
Okay, you may be seated for just a moment, please. The Lord's laid something on my heart, and I'm going to do it right quick as I can. But Brother Paul Pritchard Jr. called me the other day, and they've got crates of, what is it, Bibles and tracts and gospel literature. And they, because of the recession, the money has not come in lately to get those shipped. And they take $700 a crate to go into Africa, and they've got a wide open door down there. And the Lord just laid it on my heart. I know you give a tithe, you give to missions, and you're giving in Brother Gary's car. But tonight, I just feel that the Lord would have us, I'm going to have the ushers to stand at the door, and let's get one of these crates taken care of. $700. I'm going to put a $20 bill in there. If you put a dollar, two or five or something like that, let's take care of this. One of these crates, $700, and ship all these Bibles, literature, and tracts. They're fixing to go in just a few weeks, aren't you, to Africa. Into these Portuguese-speaking areas, a great open door. So just if you have money with you, you feel led, let's give something, dollar, two, five, ten, whatever you can. If the Lord lays it on your heart. Now, when we take an offering, if you don't feel led, don't give. I'm not asking you to give. If you feel led, let's help. Here's a man that's had what, 10 broken bones in your 10 surgeries, or what was that, brother? 10 surgeries, and he was serving the Lord and hit head on, crashed out serving the Lord. Now he sacrificed, and we could sacrifice a dollar or two or five or something like that to help him get a crate of this gospel literature. So ushers will be at the doors, and every one of us, if you just have some change or whatever it is, let's raise this $700. Okay. And so the ushers will be at the door as you go out. Now, Brother Gary, where's Brother Gary? Has he already left? Over here. Get your family and go on over, and we're going to have a reception. Everyone come on over, and let's, Brother Gary and his family will be there. There'll be refreshments, and there's plenty for everyone. And so just, so we appreciate the 25 years he's given us here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Now, as the ushers are at the door, is every door man there, man? Get me an usher up. Let me see. Ushers, are you at the doors? Okay, you're out the front doors. Okay, fine. So let's all try to. Father, I thank you for the good service tonight, the great message. And Lord, help us to daily seek to be crucified with Christ and put him first. Not I, but Christ. Thank you for the 25 years Brother Gary's given. I pray you bless him. Keep your hand on this church and dismiss us now with your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Do stay for the reception. Don't forget to leave and put some money as you go through. Let's send one of these crates to Africa. Thank you very much.